This is the Dalai Lama at the Seeds of Compassion Conference. I'm Paul Ingalls. Saturday, April 12, 2008, the 14th Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of Tibet, delivered the keynote speech of a five-day conference on compassion in Seattle, Washington. An estimated 50,000 people looked on and listened intently on a brilliant sunny day at Quest Field, football home to the Seattle Seahawks. The Dalai Lama sat in a large red chair, flanked by organizers of the Seeds of Compassion Conference and Native American elders from the Northwest. He was introduced to the crowd by the governor of the state of Washington, Christine Gregoire.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. And thank you, Dan, for the kind introduction, and an amazing thank you to those who are the co-founders of Seeds of Compassion, Lama Tenzin Donden and Dan Kranzler, for your vision in bringing all of us here today. A most special welcome to our honored guest, Your Holiness. Thank you for gracing our state with your presence. It is my honor and privilege on behalf of the people of our great state to welcome you. For a small town kid growing up in Auburn, Washington, it is truly an honor to be with you today to learn how we can turn compassion into action for all of us, especially for our children. But it is thousands of daily actions by millions of people in this state and across the entire world that will help ensure that every child leads a happier, richer life. These actions will give our children the tools to respect and to care about others, to respect themselves, their families, and our world. His Holiness the Dalai Lama has been talking, listening to the world about compassion for a very long time. He lives his beliefs by working courageously on behalf of peace, everywhere on this planet. Born in 1935 in a small Tibetan village to farmers, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama was recognized at 2 years of age as the reincarnation of the 13th Dalai Lama. At six, he began his studies of Buddhism, and at 23, he graduated with the equivalent of a doctorate of Buddhist philosophy. In 1950, His Holiness was called upon to assume leadership of the Tibetan people. In 1954, he went to Beijing for peace talks with Mao Zedong and other Chinese leaders. But finally, in 1959, His Holiness was forced into exile. And since then, he's been living in Dharamsala, also northern India, the seat of the Tibetan political administration, in exile. From there, His Holiness has spent his time working tirelessly for the Tibetan people, for global peace, and for compassion for all people across the globe. His Holiness never seeks recognition for his work. Yet, in 1989, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for always, always advocating nonviolence. We know him as an individual who advocates nonviolence even in the face of extreme aggression. His teaching, which he practiced, is violence begets violence. He also became the first Nobel laureate to be recognized for his concern for global environmental problems. He has received numerous other awards, and most recently, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest award given by the United States of America. His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, has been talking, listening, and writing to the world about compassion for a very long time. He finds his name as author on more than 72 books and is one of the most sought-after speakers in the world. On behalf of the people of the great state of Washington and our friends and neighbors across the United States, I am deeply honored to be here with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, a deeply humble man of peace, an author, an activist, a humorist, a monk, and a man who inspires us all to seek our own path to a more compassionate future. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in a warm, loving, compassionate welcome for His Holiness.
Brothers and sisters, of course, Governor and some other city dignitaries, I am extremely happy having this opportunity to share my basic sort of concern and belief. Really here, big number of audience, fortunately, quite nice day, so I think the audience may enjoy this bright sunny day. And then among the audience, some cases, as they come to listen Dalai Lama's talk with great expectation. That's a mistake. I have nothing to offer, something very special. Just few empty words. Then, if some people have believed or view that Dalai Lama have some miracle power, that's totally nonsense. I am just one human being, and perhaps since young age, lot of trouble faced or experienced. So now, over 70 years old, now nearly 73, therefore, in my lifetime, I observed many events on this planet. So, according my experience, and also from the observation, many of our problems is essentially man-made problem. I think men here, I think really means men. Women, maybe less troublemaker. I think, except in the family, in the home, sometimes women are really troublemakers. But I think, on global level, I think men, truly, I think, troublemaker. So, in any way, many problems essentially our own creation. Therefore, logically, we must have the ability to eliminate this problem and at least reduce this problem. So, every human action ultimately related with motivation and vision. So, firstly, on action level, whenever we face problem, different interests, disagreement, the realistic method is non-violent dialogue. That's the only way. Global level, or national level, or community level, or family level, the dialogue is the really, the human way, and also realistic approach. So, I often sharing with people, 20th century become like century of bloodshed. Lot of problem still there. So therefore, now this century, although the beginning of this century, not a very happy one, but still, the major portion of this century is still yet to come, yet to go. So, I think it is our own interest and our moral responsibility to make this century should be century of dialogue. Through that way, I think many problems, at least, if not solved, but no longer much side effect. If you use force in order to solve one problem, it often creates a lot of unexpected side effect. And then basically, today's world is not like 19th century, 20th century's world. Today's world is something new reality. That means every part of the world heavily interconnected. So under this circumstances, according to this new reality, the very concept of we and they no longer there. Whole world should consider part of you. Therefore, according to that reality, concept of war is outdated. So, the concept of non-violence, I usually explaining non-violence, not just mere absence of violence. Non-violence means facing problem with will, determination, vision, wider perspective. Deal with that deliberately, restrain using force. So here, we need two things. One, I usually call external disarmament. Now these lot of weapons including nuclear weapons. Nobody dare to use nuclear weapons. Yet, we keep these weapons. In certain circumstances, as a deterrent method, it worked. But now, I think we should think seriously. Elimination of all nuclear weapons. Then, as a first step, some restriction was a trade of armament, arms. Some Nobel laureate already carried some movement. I think that should be continue and succeed. And then another thing, in order to carry genuine external disarmament, we need willpower. For that, we need inner disarmament. So long, hatred, anger, jealousy, suspicion, fear, these emotions remain there. Very difficult to carry genuine, complete disarmament, external disarmament. Therefore, first, we need inner disarmament. Now, how to do that? Can we buy compassion from shop? No. Can we ask some doctors in big hospital, please give me one injection of compassion? No. And just sit close eye and think compassion. That also, I think, a limited effect. And then simply prayer, also limited effect. So now here, compassion through education, through awareness, it is the proper way to cultivate and strengthening. Now compassion, now promotion of compassion, I think three ways. Number one, through theistic religious belief. Of course, all theistic religions essence message or practice is love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance. So the theistic religion is one of the powerful methods to strengthen, to promote compassion. Number two, non-theistic religion, such as Buddhism, Jainism, these also mainly through utilize human intelligence, promote compassion, these inner value. That is another way to promote. Now there should be third way. That is usually I call secular way. In fact, compassionate feeling. These are, I say, value.
Universal values.
Or universal value. Irrespective whether believer or non-believer. The appreciation of affection, even animal appreciates. So therefore, warm-heartedness, taking care of others, taking concern of others' well-being is something universal value. So this, essentially, these are secular ethics. Now, approach to promotion of these things, there must be secular way. Now, here in modern education, I think generally more secular way. I think that is very good. Now, I think in the modern education system, up to now, mainly focusing, dealing with material development, and external matters. I think, of course, my knowledge is limited, but according to many experts, the modern education, something lacking about fuller care of our inner value. So therefore, it is important, and I think time is come. Now think more seriously. In modern education, where we are a little bit lacking. Now how to
redress that balance?
How to
bridge that gap?
How to
redress that imbalance?
I don't know that. Love that.
How to redress that imbalance?
So how to fulfill? You see that sort of drawback. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I have no experience. I myself not educated. So therefore, those learned, experienced people, I think should think more seriously and make some kind of concrete proposal or something. Actually, yesterday, in our conversation, seminar, I mentioned that. And some occasion, I mentioned in Europe as well as some other different places. So that's my, suggestion. One point.
You're listening to the Dalai Lama, spiritual leader of Tibet, recorded at the 2008 Seeds of Compassion Conference in Seattle, Washington. More after this break. You're listening to the Dalai Lama at the Seeds of Compassion Conference. Saturday, April 12, 2008, the Dalai Lama addressed an estimated crowd of 50,000, filling two-thirds of the enormous Quest Field in Seattle, normally the home of the Seattle Seahawks football team. Once again, the Dalai Lama.
Then another thing. Essentially, compassion is the biological factor, right? Due to biological conditions, the feeling of taking care or sense of concern of other, that happened, due to biological factor. Because not only human being, but also other species of mammal who survive and grow entirely depend on others' care. In that case, due to biological factor, at the emotion level, some element to bring together. Now, for example, we, human beings, or cats, or dogs, or other different birds, as soon as offspring come, both sides, the emotion which bring together that sense of affection, compassion. Without that, mother may not take care, mother side. The offspring side also, no bother. Not relying on mother. That means die. So therefore, biologically, we need others' care. So, biologically, we equip that. That's affection, compassion. So therefore, the taking care from childhood and nurtured compassion is extremely important. So my own case, I always feel my real original teacher of compassion is my mother. My mother, so kind, actually uneducated, villagers, farmers, what say, mother, but very, very warm-hearted person. So, I feel the seed of my compassion I received at that time. So here, I think several thousand people, everyone come from mother's womb. I don't think anyone come from sky or from lotus. Sometimes in India, in ancient sort of story, some great sort of person come from lotus. Sometimes I jokingly telling audience, oh, those people who born from lotus may not have the human affection. Their affection may be more related with flower rather than human being. So I feel it is our fortunate we come from our mother. So therefore, we all have same ability, same potential to develop compassion. Now, compassion which we received at the time of birth and at young age, that is something, if we go more precise, that is limited compassion, biased compassion, mainly biological factor. Take that as a seed, as a potential. Using our human intelligence, then deliberately nurture that, training that, further extend. Then that compassion can become unbiased, infinite. The first kind of compassion cannot extend towards your enemy. The second one can reach towards your enemy. Here now, differences. The limited bias of compassion much based on what say the actions or activities or attitude. Therefore, your friend who show you positive attitude, on that basis you develop sense of concern. So-called enemy, their attitude towards you is negative. So we call them enemy. No longer sense of caring. Now, second type of compassion, infinite. That compassion because that compassion based on being rather than their attitude. So irrespective of the other's attitude towards you, doesn't matter. So long, these also, just like me, sentient being, who want happiness, who do not want suffering, everyone have the right to overcome suffering. So thinking this line, then develop sense of concern. From that way, we can develop genuine sense of concern and compassion towards your enemy. As far as their attitude is concerned, negative towards you. But still, they are sentient being or human being, they deserve our love and compassion. So that's, and then secondly, as I mentioned earlier, today's world, heavily interdependent, taking care more others, ultimately you get benefit. Because your future, your happiness depend on them. Human being, particularly human being, social animal. Now here, I myself, I'm one of the 6 billion human beings. My future entirely depends on the rest of the 6 billion human beings. So 6 billion human beings is the ultimate source of my own happiness. Therefore, the ultimate source of my own future, that is very important. I have to take care of them. From the selfish viewpoint, for my own interest, I have to take care of others' well-being. So usually I telling, you see, sharing with people, everybody have selfish sort of
feeling,
selfish attitude there. Generally, okay, it's good. But selfish should be wise selfish rather than foolish selfish. So think more about others' well-being. You get more benefit. The more you forget about others, think oneself, ultimately, you will suffer. Therefore, using our intelligence, awareness, according to the reality, you get deep sort of conviction, compassion, warm-heartedness is individual level, family level, community level, national, international level, you will see some benefit. That brings conviction. Conviction bring eventually transformation of our mental attitude. So now combination, family life provide maximum affection to our children. Of course, I have no children. those people who have children, you say, please, they give maximum affection to your children. These children are the basis of our hope. Our future depend on them. If we neglect these children and pray some good for future, it's hypocrisy. We must give them affection, maximum affection. Through that way, next generation can be more compassionate generation. Then genuine, lasting world peace, happy human society can materialize. So that's all. Thank you. Two questions, by the
way.
Two questions. Good. Okay, okay. Now question.
Thank you, Your Holiness. We are so grateful for your words and insight, and I know that there are many questions our community has for you. And over the last week, hundreds of thoughtful and touching questions have been submitted to the Seeds of Compassion website. So I'd like to take a few minutes to ask you a few of those. I'm told we have time for three. Your Holiness, how can we change the mindset of our leaders to promote peace through nonviolence rather than domination and force?
I think this question is very serious and very big. The real answer for that question, I don't know. One thing. It seems in the early period of 20th century, I think the leader's statement or leader's speech, the word compassion almost no place, no existence. Then later part of 20th century, even political leadership statement or speech, the word compassion now found some place. And then obviously, the word nonviolence, coexistence. Now these, now from time to time happening. Now these are sign of gradual change. Now, of course, present leadership come from our present sort of community, present sort of society. So we can't blame some of their mistakes. I think whole society, just think oneself and more sometimes short-sighted. So I think it is better to think or to work preparation for better society, better leader in future. This is my feeling. Otherwise, I don't know.
Thank you, Your Holiness.
Oh, perhaps one thing. Many years ago, one of my writing article, I suggested the leaders of different nations, particularly these big nations, should
get together,
one nice place, completely holiday, no business discussion, simply with their family and spend 1 week or two. No agenda, serious agenda. Simply make known each other, their wife, their children, let them play, make friends. Then, afterward, once know each other as a human being, then maybe when some serious differences come, they can try to solve as something sort of, what's it, the effort within one friend group. That, I feel, may be some useful. Like recent, the President Bush and Putin meeting and develop some kind of personal friendship. I think such thing is very, very essential.
Thank you, Your
Holiness. Second question.
In the long history of your people, you have been confronted with reason for deep despair. How do you and how can we remain hopeful?
When we look newspaper or television, we often notice the some disaster. That's news. So sometimes you see people get the impression world becoming worse and full of trouble and violent world. I think that one-sided view, I believe, yes, there are a lot of sad things there, a lot of crisis there, a lot of injustice. However, overall picture of the condition of 6 billion human beings, I think the global warming and also the overpopulated problem of overpopulation. These are very, very serious. Very, very serious. Otherwise, I think world basically, I think more wiser, I feel. One time, 1996, I had an audience with late Queen Mother of England. At that time, her own age, 96. So, I asked her, since you observed almost whole century, according your view, world becoming better or same or worse? Without hesitation, she responded to me, world becoming better. Reason, when she was young, hardly no concept of human right, a right of self-determination, these things. Now today, these concepts become universal. She told me, I agree. Basically, human being, through difficult experience and observation of lot of change, human being, generally speaking, becoming more mature. So, compare later part of 20th century and early part of 20th century, there was big change. Now, 21st century is continuation of later part of 20th century. Basically, I believe world becoming better awareness. Becoming more, I think, mature. So, if we, each individual, make effort without losing hope, I think this century will be better century, happier century. There's no doubt. If we neglect, then, of course, difficult. So, we must keep optimistic attitude. In spite of some difficulties here and there, we must keep our determination. That's the key factor. Thank you. Next question. Do you agree?
Our final question. What skills are needed most to turn empathy into active compassion? And what is the best way for children to develop and hone these skills?
I think, as I mentioned in my main talk, the true education, through awareness. Then here, one factor, the teacher, I think very, very important. The real meaning of compassion simply word compassion not carry that. Real meaning of compassion is carry through action. So the teacher, when you teach student about importance of compassion, teacher himself or herself must show genuine sense of concern of the student's long future. Not only give them information or knowledge, but really helping them with sense of concern or responsibility. Then introduce value of compassion through action. That I think is important. Another in the family, parent and relatives, should provide, as I mentioned before, maximum affection. So combine in education field, the particular sort of lessons about compassion, about the spirit of dialogue, nonviolence, these things, and teachers, concerned people, should show value of compassion through their own behavior. Well, then they themselves should make example. Then the family provide maximum love, compassion. So, that's how I feel. And then yesterday also I mentioned, and quite a number of occasions I mentioned, appropriate in front of women governor. That in human history, last few thousand, years, originally, no class in the society, everybody equal, work together, share equally. Then eventually, concept of leadership. Oh, then different classes eventually happen. At that time, no education. So in order to become leadership, physical strength is major factor. Therefore, male-dominant society developed. And then eventually, education improved. Then, leadership gradually women come. Women emerge as leadership. Now here, one governor here. So that's another sort of era, another sort of, age. Now, we are talking here, importance of compassion. The time, more emphasis, not only education, but also warm-heartedness. Perhaps women may have greater important role regarding promotion of compassion. I think women, female, biological factor, I think there is tendency of more sensitivity about other suffering. Male, usually, you say they believe more aggressive is the sort of power of man. So therefore, I think female, I think, should take more important role in this age.
Your Holiness, Thank you for taking the time to answer these questions. I know that those who submitted them will be so honored by your thoughtfulness.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this gathering, and I think different sort of different people or different sort of community, different sort of dress, different ornaments wear, costumes come here as a genuine human brothers, sisters. The most important is humanity. That's the fundamental. Different culture, different color, different sort of social background, and different religious faith. These are secondary. We must not forget the basic human being in order to seek religious faith or color or different social background. That's I think, a mistake. Number one priority must on the level of human being.
Humanity.
So here we gathered not due to some sort of certain belief or certain sort of reasons, certain sort of color or these things. But we come here as a human brothers, sisters, and everybody share human joyfulness. That's, I think, wonderful. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You've been listening to His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, Tenzin Gyatso, both the head of state and the spiritual leader of Tibet. He delivered the keynote speech of a 5-day conference on compassion in Seattle, Washington, on April 12, 2008. An estimated 50,000 people looked on and listened intently on a brilliant sunny day at Quest Field, football home to the Seattle Seahawks. Special thanks to the Seeds of Compassion conference team. For more on the 5-day 2008 conference, you can visit seedsofcompassion.org. That's seedsofcompassion.org. This program was produced by Good Radio Shows Incorporated, a nonprofit media organization producing programs meant to inspire, inform, and improve the human condition, including Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. To hear this program again and any program in the Peace Talks Radio series, visit peacetalksradio.com. That's peacetalksradio.com. Associate producer of this program was Suzanne Kreider. I'm Paul Ingles. Thank you for listening.